May God be pleased to bless us together this evening as we meditate in his word. Let us turn, therefore, to the Gospel of Luke, and we'll chapter 15, and we'll read verse 7. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, and reading verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Often the great blessing of repentance is passed over, and it seems that we do not realize the necessity of it and the importance of it and the blessing it is when God grants the favor of true repentance. It's clearly set before us in the Word of God. It's not something that we should ignore and turn away from. And so in this chapter, which principally covers the words that the Savior speaks, from after the first couple of verses, the rest are all the words literally of the Savior. And he starts with the illustration, which is obvious and this was no doubt very suitable in the day and age in which he lived, and no less suitable today, about a man having 100 sheep. And we know that if he lost one of them, he leaves the 99 in the wilderness, and he goes after it, that which is lost, until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbours, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. You can imagine how pleased a shepherd would be, having lost a sheep and then eventually found it and was willing to pick it up and to carry it home, no doubt exhausted from wherever it had been. And so the Lord uses this illustration to speak to us and to say this: I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And he goes on, of course, to the next parable about the woman who had 10 pieces of silver, and she lost one, and she hunted high and low until she found it, and she said, rejoice with me, for I found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Well, we have the evidence in these two parables of the blessing that repentance is, and the need there is for it, and how wonderful it is when it is granted. Likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Well, we need, of course, to always bring the word of God to ourselves, to our personal lives, and to look into our hearts, and let us remind ourselves the word of God encourages us to examine ourselves, not to examine other people, not to look around at other people, but to examine ourselves. And so this evening, if we are able to examine ourselves, do we find there the evidence that God has granted us repentance? And what does that mean? Well, it means that we are truly sorry for our sins. We are truly sorry for all those things wherein we have offended God. And it would have had an effect upon us. It won't be just weasel words. It won't be just a mere statement, because it will have an effect. And the effect will be as it were, to make us reverse that which we've been going after. We know what reversing is, don't we, with a car or whatever. You go in one direction, and if you want to reverse, you have to put it in a different gear to go in the opposite direction. So it is with the blessing of repentance. It's to reverse our attitudes, reverse our way of life perhaps, and to go in an opposite direction. And very simply, that means this. We would have been serving the devil and doing those things which he has directed us to do. But if the Spirit of God grants us true sorrow for our sin and a desire to change, it will mean changing and going in a different direction. And that direction is not to listen to what the devil instructs us to do, but to listen to what the Word of God directs us to do, and to hear His Word, and to study His Word, and be concerned that we don't continue to offend a holy God, but be submissive to His will. And that's the blessing of repentance. And the result is, if that is granted to us, and it's not something you and I can suddenly produce, it's not something that we have power to do ourselves, but bless God, the Holy Spirit can help us and does help us and enables us to turn around and go in an opposite direction, so that we find ourselves privileged to be found serving the Lord, privileged to be honouring and glorifying His great and holy name. This is the outcome of true repentance. And what a blessing it is if this is granted to us. And we must realise that no unrepentant sinner enters into glory. It's not something that you and I should say, well, I think I'll put it on the back burner. I think I'll wait a bit and see how things develop. You and I don't know if we'll be struck down dead tonight. That would be a very tragic scene, wouldn't it? If we hadn't sought for true repentance. We hadn't really cried out to God that He would give us repentance in order to change our ways. Now, it won't be easy. It won't be easy. Because the flesh, you see, likes the things of the world. But bless God, the work of the Spirit in our heart directs us to desire the things of God, because the wonderful outcome is the things of God will bring us home to glory. The things of evil, the things of the world will not. They'll take us in the broad road, which will mean we'll have an easy life and an endless eternity in complete misery. Ponder the consideration. It's so important for us today. You see, the devil wants to stop our ears so that we don't hear the truth of God. And he's a very cunning person. Don't underestimate the devil. You see, what he does, he comes alongside you in chapel, he sits there, and he directs your mind to think about the things of time. The things that you've done, the things that you want to do. And therefore, you don't hear the word of God. That's what the devil's always trying to do. And he's pretty successful on many occasions. And my friends, may he not be successful tonight. And may he not be successful indeed in our lives. But may we have that real concern to be granted true repentance. And as I said, true repentance has a real effect upon us, because we don't then continue doing those things which were wrong. If we continue doing those things which are wrong, it is clear we have not been blessed with repentance. It's no good just pretending to be blessed with repentance and pretending that we've asked for repentance when we continue in a wrong way before a holy, heart-searching God. You know, it's so important that we are not to mock God. We had those words before us on Friday in the Galatians in the 6th chapter. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. We must not pretend to be what we are not. God looks at our heart. You may think, well, I've impressed people. They think I'm a good person, I'm doing a good thing. You and I stand before God. And God looks into our heart. And God sees what is really there. And my friends, we need true repentance, not a false repentance. We need true repentance. Well, we have this word then, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. I wonder whether there has been in our lives joy in heaven because of the grace given to us to repent. I mentioned in prayer the very relevant words in Romans, the 2nd chapter, the 4th verse. The goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. And I believe that is a very true and a very effectual word. Because when the Holy Spirit shows to us his goodness and mercy, which has been toward us, perhaps naturally, perhaps you young people in exams at school, perhaps the Lord has helped you and he's granted you the ability to be able to answer questions adequately, so you've been able to pass exams. And what has it been? It's been the goodness of God. And if it's been the goodness of God, has it led you to repentance, to be sorry for your sins, sorry the way that you treated the blessed God in walking contrary to him, in walking in a worldly way rather than a godly way? And yet do you still expect God to look upon you and still grant you success? The goodness of God leads us to repentance. What a mercy that is, when the Holy Spirit enables us to observe his goodness toward us, and it makes us come to him truly sorry for our sins and confess our sins. It's easy to say, isn't it, to confess our sins. It's far more difficult to actually come before God and to confess our sins. The devil doesn't want you to do that. And our nature doesn't want to do that. But we should be very thankful to Almighty God when he gives us grace to do that. And that means to bow down before him and to acknowledge that we have been wrong. We have fallen. We have offended a holy God. What a blessing it is when the Holy Spirit, as it were, brings us to our senses. Now that's really what this third parable in this chapter directs us to. And it's a well-known parable which we refer to as the prodigal son. And as we read it together, and we're told this man had two sons, and the young one wanted his portion of goods that was due to him. And so his father gave him his portion. And what did he do? He left home. He gathered his goods together. He went to a far country, no doubt thinking no one could see him. No one would be able to observe what he was doing. And what did he do? Did he do good things? Did he honour his God? He did contrary things. He wasted his substance in riotous living. And it's very easy to waste our substance in riotous living. You know, when you young people leave home and go to university or whatever, or perhaps have to leave and go to work when you're away from your family, away from people that can see you. Perhaps you go away on business. Perhaps you have to go to other places and other countries. It's very easy to be tempted by the devil to spend our time in riotous living. You might think, well, I haven't done very much bad, really. I've only just done this and just done that. Well, it's a question of, have you done that which is in opposition to the truth of the Word of God? You see, God has given us all a conscience. And we know before God whether we are doing the will of God or whether we are pleasing the devil. And so here we have this position told us here about this son, this younger son. He spent all his substance, all that his father had given him. He went away and spent it in riotous living. We have to be very careful in our lives today that we're not tempted by peer pressure. Peer pressure is very strong. You don't want to be felt to be an odd man out or an odd woman out. You want to, as it were, try and go with the flow. Well, if you go with the flow, you may find you're doing things which you'll regret all your life. You may find you're led into things which you didn't expect to happen. And you'll find yourselves being turned away. What a blessing it is when the Holy Spirit enables us to stand firm for the truth of God. You say, people may invite you to go and do this and go and do that. Well, it's very hard to stand and say, well, no, I'm not. In actual fact, I'm going home. In actual fact, I'm going back to my lodgings or whatever it is, or going back to my hotel. And they say, well, won't you come with us? You'll enjoy it. And you see, it's very hard to stand out against these things. But we can bless God that we have a very encouraging word in the first chapter in Peter's epistle, when he tells us, kept by the power of God. And that's why the Lord Jesus, in that glorious prayer which he taught his disciples, he said, pray, lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. It's a good prayer to pray every day for all of us, and especially young people in the world in which we live, because we live in a very evil world when anything goes. Immorality is rife, and everything is acceptable in this day and age in which we live, but it's not acceptable with God. And so here we have this statement. This man, he wasted his substance in riotous living. Now, the wonderful favour of this man was the Lord looked upon him. Doesn't mean to say God's going to look upon you and me. He may leave us to ourselves. Disaster. Eternal disaster. Well, here was this man. And what happened to him? Well, when he spent all that he had, we're then told, coincidentally, in accordance with the will of God, a mighty famine came. Well, he hadn't got any money to buy anything. He was now really destitute, wasn't it? So the Lord graciously arranges things to occur in our lives sometimes to turn us, to hedge up our way, to direct us, and to be kept from evil things. Well, in this case, there was this mighty famine. And what are we told? For the first time since he left home, he began to be in want. Well, what a blessing it is when you and I spiritually begin to be in want. That means we recognize, by the power of the Spirit, our sinful condition before a holy God, and we need to be cured. We need to have our sin cancelled. We need to have our sin taken away. Well, this man, he didn't have it easy. And the Word of God tells us this, and you young people, just remember it. If we walk contrary to God, he will walk contrary to us. Don't think everything's going to be plain sailing. Don't think you can just say, well, I'll just say a few words and pray for forgiveness without actually emanating from the heart. So this man, he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, to feed the pigs. Didn't have anything else to do. Didn't have any food. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. Well, the good thing is sometimes the Lord brings us into these conditions where we begin to be in want. We realize we have a need. This man had a need. And then we're told he came to himself. He came to himself. He sat down and he thought about all his life. He thought about all the terrible things he'd done. How he wasted all his money. And we're told he came to himself. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Well, he came to himself. He came to realize where he was, and it enabled him to look back and to see his father's house. Now the blessing is for us in a spiritual way. If the Lord brings us to a condition where we begin to be in want in a spiritual way, and then perhaps we look back and we think, well, my parents, they aren't in want. They worshipped God. And they read the Bible, and they prayed, and they rejoiced in these things, and I haven't. Let me now retrace my steps. Let me turn around. What was occurring in this man's life? Repentance. Repentance. You see, he reversed his position. He had to. There's no real alternative. Otherwise he would perish. And that's the same in our spiritual lives. We will perish in our sins. How wonderful it is when the Holy Spirit enables us to reverse, change our direction from an evil one to a right one. Now, what caused him to do this? We must believe it was the work of the Holy Spirit. And what will cause us to change our course, to turn around, to once again desire to come back and to worship the true God? And he said, I will arise and go to my Father. And he did. And he arose. He arose and came to his Father. Now, the good news was, his father was out looking for him. He expected him. He'd no doubt prayed for him. Perhaps from the very day he left. And so, he returned. And he came to his father when he was a great way off. His father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, we have here a physical, natural reaction of a earthly father. But you know what a blessing it is when you and I are given grace to return and go back to our Father's house and to truly bow down and worship the Lord and to be received, not cast off, not thrust away. This Father had natural love. My friends, our Heavenly Father has wonderful love to such rebellious men and women who run away from God, who turn our back upon the things of God. And yet, you see, this Father had no doubt prayed for his Son, and our Heavenly Father looks upon us. He knows where we are, he knows where we've been, he knows the terrible places perhaps we've gone into, he knows the sinful friends perhaps we've had and indulged with, and yet his love has not changed. He hasn't said, well, now you are too bad, I'm not going to look upon you, you're out of reach. No, our Father in heaven is compassionate. And our Father deals with us in love to our souls. And he deals with us for his honour and for his glory. And so he arose and came to his father. And he was a great way off. His father saw him and had compassion and ran on his neck and kissed him. And what did the son say? Well, confession. Isn't it wonderful? When God gives godly confession, when God gives godly repentance. And he came and said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. This is not a unique experience. This is an experience common to the church of God, to the household of faith, who come confessing to God they are unworthy of any notice. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But it's very important to note that when he planned to go back, he planned to say to his father, make me one of thy hired servants. But he doesn't get that far on this occasion. He confessed his sins. He'd been blessed with true repentance. And he was received by his father with love. And the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. A ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Surely it agrees with these words in the seventh verse here. Likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. It's a wonderful blessing to be given godly repentance. And it is most important, and it is most necessary. And if God gives it to us, we have great cause to praise God, and the church of God will praise God. The church of God are waiting and watching and looking for occasions like this. You see, godly people have good eyesight, and they're looking for the signs of a return. They're looking for signs of repentance. And when they see it, they rejoice and bless God for it. Joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Well, what a blessing it is for the church of God when these occasions occur. What a mercy it is when you and I are able to observe them and to bless God for them. It's a wonderful thing. We only have that parable recorded once, but it's enough And it's there for our instruction, and it's there for our direction, so that we may truly come and bless God. Now then, we must realize that the blessing of repentance is not something that you and I can produce naturally. And the apostle, when he wrote to the Romans, he clarifies this very clearly. And when he spoke and wrote in the 11th chapter and the 29th verse, we're told this: "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." God calls us first. "For as ye in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all." And then he says, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever." And my dear friends, if God gives us repentance, to recognize that we have offended Almighty God, to recognize that our sins have caused the Lord Jesus Christ to suffer upon the cross at Calvary, it's because of our sins, our personal sins, that have caused the Lord that anguish. What a blessing we have, such a merciful God. And how humbling to think that that God has looked upon us. He looked upon in this parable this son. Has the Lord looked upon us? Has he looked upon you and me? And granted us true sorrow for sin, so that we've turned away from our sinful way and desires to be found serving the Lord. A complete change. Oh, bless God. And all of us need it. All of us may have it. A true change. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. And what a wonderful thing it is to observe it. And we do observe it. And it is evident, because the effect of the work of God in our souls changes our motives, changes our desires, changes our words, changes our actions. It is a glorious work, and it is a work of God. My friends, we have Almighty God who does great things. And what a mercy it is, you see. And we are therefore to praise and to glorify our God for all these wonderful blessings that he brings to such unworthy people, sinners of the earth, bad sinners, with nothing to in merit in themselves. Now the apostle, when he wrote to the Corinthians, it's useful just to mention one or two scriptures, because they confirm the gracious and glorious work of God. And when he wrote to the Corinthians, and we know the Corinthians were not a good people, they needed a lot of correction. And in the 7th chapter of the 2nd epistle, we read in the 9th and 10th verses, "Now I rejoice, says the apostle, not that you were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." You see, there's a big difference between the sorrow of the world and a godly sorrow. A godly sorrow means that you and I are truly sorry for our sins, and truly sorry that our sins have caused the Lord Jesus Christ to suffer on that cross at Calvary, to realize that it is us, our sins, our terrible sins, that cause the Lord Jesus to suffer and to bleed and die. Now, when the Holy Spirit gives us the glorious gift, as it is, which we said, of repentance, then it is, you see, that we are led to the Saviour, and we see in him all that is necessary to take away all our sins, because he came to die that we might receive the blessing of eternal life, and that he would redeem us from all our sins. There we were, in need of being redeemed. There we were, a captive. But the Lord Jesus came to set us free. Free from Satan's clutches. You see, unless the Lord frees us, we continue in the clutches of Satan. But oh, bless God tonight, if we understand what it is to be blessed with this true God-given repentance. Remember, it is God-given. It's not something that you and I have produced ourselves. It's something which Almighty God has blessed us with. And so we should thank God. When the apostle wrote to his son Timothy, and in the second epistle of Timothy, in the second chapter, we read this towards the end of that second chapter, the last few verses. And the servant of God, the Lord, must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. That means that God gives us the ability to acknowledge that the Lord is right, his word is right, and we are wrong. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Again, never underestimate the power or the skill of the devil. Never think you and I will be strong enough. Again, reverting to the Apostle Peter, you think that when, after that glorious sermon in the upper room, the disciples came out with the Lord, and Peter was so definite that he would die for the Lord. He would never deny him. And yet just a few hours later, faced with the questions from a maid, he denied his Lord with oaths and curses. Never think you and I have strength ourselves. We only have strength as God supplies it. But he does. As the apostle says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So faced with difficulties and oppositions, don't look to your own strength. Don't think, well, I know how to answer this. I know how to resist it. Pray to God that he will help you, because he will not forsake you. He will not fail you. But do pray. And pray from your heart. Don't pray from your head. Pray truly desiring that he will deliver you, that he will strengthen you and help you. And what a mercy that will be when that occurs. The Lord makes ways. Ways when there seems to be no way. You may be hedged up all around. You think, how can I escape this position? God is able to do that for you and me, which we can't do. He can change men's minds. He can make men unable to pursue what they wanted to do. Have faith in God. Have confidence in the Almighty God, that one who has looked upon us, and we might say, one who has loved us so much that he's given his life that we might be blessed with eternal life. What a gracious, kind, and glorious God we have. Oh, that you and I might praise him more. Oh, that you and I might honour him more. Oh, that you and I might acknowledge his great favour toward us in his love and mercy, and grant into us that spirit of repentance. And so, these words tonight, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And when the Lord gives us that true repentance, it produces relief in our hearts. We're thankful. The Lord has helped us. The Lord has been mindful of us. He hasn't cast us off, but has enabled us to look to him. That's a good place. Look unto me, says the Saviour. Be encouraged by it. Don't rely on yourself. But my friends, don't walk contrary to God. Oh, do acknowledge the Word of God. Because the path set before us in the Word of God is a path that leads to eternal life. Don't follow the path of the world. Don't follow the insinuations of Satan. Don't listen to evil men and women, boys and girls. Listen to the Word of God. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass and give you cause to praise him for his great glory in saving your souls, in dying upon the cross, redeeming you from all your sins, and casting all your sins behind his back, and shedding his most precious blood to wash away every sin, so that you are complete in him. Well, remember these words. Likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 persons which need no repentance. May you and I be that one sinner blessed by God. Amen.